Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Leah first heard about it during a shift change. At the time, it barely registered as anything important. Hospitals were full of small misunderstandings caused by too many exhausted people working overlapping hours under fluorescent lights. Someone thought they already stocked a room. Somebody else swore they answered a call like nobody touched. Entire conversations blurred together between departments and floors until half the staff operated in a permanent state of exhaustion. So when another nurse casually mentioned passing Leah in the East hallway earlier that morning, Leah corrected her automatically without thinking much about it. She had not been in the East hallway. In fact, she had spent most of the morning downstairs in radiology with a patient waiting for imaging results. The other nurse frowned briefly and insisted it had definitely been Leah. Same scrubs, same ponytail, same clipboard tucked against her chest. She even waved at her while passing the medication room. Leah laughed it off. By the next morning, she had already forgotten about it. Then it happened again. One of the overnight respiratory techs stopped her near the nurse's station just before sunrise and casually asked whether she ever found whatever she had been looking for in room 814. Leah stared at him blankly. She had never entered room 814. The tech looked confused immediately. Around 3 that morning, he explained, he saw Leah standing quietly inside the doorway of the room, staring toward the patient's bed. Not charting, not checking vitals, just standing there while the patient slept. When he asked whether she needed help, she looked toward him briefly but never answered. Then she walked away. Leah tried explaining she had spent almost the entire night in the ICU overflow wing, 3 floors below. But the longer she spoke, the more unsettled the tech appeared. Finally, he asked something that bothered her far more than it should have. Had she changed clothes already? Leah looked down automatically at her blue scrubs, same as always. The tech shook his head slowly and muttered that he could have sworn she was wearing white earlier. That detail stayed with her longer than the sighting itself. Hospitals train people to notice uniforms instinctively. Different departments wore different colors, and after enough years in one building, staff recognized each other more by movement and clothing than facial features. People did not usually mistake blue for white. Still, Leah dismissed it, at least at first. The hospital occupied 6 floors of an older building connected to 2 newer towers through enclosed walkways and underground service corridors. It was large enough that employees regularly crossed paths with people they barely knew despite working there for years. Security guards rotated constantly. Agency nurses came and went every few months. Entire departments operated almost independently from each other. Mistaken identity happened all the time. Except the sightings kept continuing. A unit secretary waved at Leah one morning near the elevators only to call her minutes later asking why she ignored her afterward. A patient recovering from surgery insisted Leah checked his IV during the night despite records showing she had never been assigned to his floor. One elderly woman in cardiac rehab became irritated because the nurse with the sad eyes kept standing silently inside her room at night without speaking. The problem was Leah had never met her. At first, the incidents almost became a joke among coworkers. People teased Leah about having a twin working night shift. Someone even printed a fake missing poster asking staff to report the extra Leah wandering the building after midnight. So Leah laughed along with them because the alternative felt too strange to consider seriously. But gradually the tone changed, mostly because the descriptions remained too consistent. Everyone described the same odd behavior. Silent, distracted, watching people, sometimes standing in doorways longer than normal, occasionally appearing confused by the rooms around her. And worst of all, nobody could remember conversations with her clearly. Only moments, glances, brief interactions that somehow felt wrong afterward. The first thing that genuinely frightened Leah happened in the parking garage. She had stayed late after a brutal double shift and finally left the hospital sometime after midnight. The garage sat across the street connected by a sky bridge, and by then most of the upper levels were nearly empty except for scattered employee vehicles. Leah had just reached her car when she heard someone call her name. Not loudly, just enough to make her turn. One of the ER nurses stood several rows away carrying a fast food bag and staring toward Leah with visible confusion. The nurse asked why Leah had gone back upstairs after saying goodbye earlier. Leah immediately told her she had not gone back upstairs at all. The woman frowned. 10 minutes earlier, she explained, she saw Leah standing near the pediatric elevators on the fourth floor, just standing there. Leah laughed nervously and suggested she probably saw someone else, but the nurse shook her head immediately. No. She had looked directly at her. Leah asked what she meant by that, and the woman hesitated before quietly explaining that the person looked exactly like Leah but did not react like her. That was the first time someone referred to the other figure as she. Not another nurse, not somebody else, she. Leah barely slept after that conversation. By then, the sightings had started happening often enough that she became constantly aware of her own location inside the hospital. Without realizing it, she started documenting things more carefully. She checked timestamps obsessively, made sure co-workers physically saw her where she actually was, and charted rounds immediately instead of waiting until the end of shifts. She had started trying to prove her own presence. Then came the security footage. That was when everything changed. A patient with dementia wandered away from his room around 4 in the morning, triggering alarms near one of the restricted stairwells. Security reviewed camera footage afterward, trying to determine how far he had gone before staff intercepted him. Leah only became involved because one of the guards stopped her later that morning looking visibly uncomfortable. He asked where she had been around 4:13 a.m. Leah answered immediately. Medication room on 5. There were witnesses. The guard nodded slowly but still looked unsettled. Then he quietly asked whether she had gone anywhere near the south stairwell earlier that night. Leah said no. The guard stared at her for another moment before explaining why he asked. At 4:13 that morning, one of the hallway cameras captured Leah standing outside the stairwell door on the 3rd floor. Not walking, not entering, just standing there facing directly toward the camera. Watching it. The footage lasted only 4 seconds before the image dissolved into static. When the camera feed returned, the hallway was empty. After the security footage surfaced, the joking stopped almost immediately. Before that, most of Leah's co-workers treated the sightings like an odd collection of misunderstandings. Strange, maybe, but still explainable. Hospitals were chaotic places. People worked long shifts under artificial light with little sleep and too much caffeine. It was easy to mistake someone at the end of a hallway or assume you saw a familiar face in passing. But the footage changed the tone completely. Not because anyone else saw it, because security refused to show it to Leah afterward. That bothered her almost more than the recording itself. The guard who originally mentioned it became strangely uncomfortable whenever she brought it up again. Eventually, he admitted the camera feed had been overwritten during a routine system reset. But Leah could tell from the way he avoided eye contact that something about the footage unsettled him more than he wanted to admit. After that, people started watching Leah differently. Not openly, just enough for her to notice. Conversations occasionally stopped when she entered break rooms. A few co-workers began double-checking her schedule before asking where she had been earlier. One nurse quietly admitted she now looked directly at Leah's badge whenever they crossed paths at night. The sightings were happening too often now for people to fully dismiss them, and the descriptions remained disturbingly similar. Everyone said the other Leah moved slowly, not weak or sick exactly, just slightly delayed as though she was paying attention to something nobody else could see. Several people mentioned catching her standing silently inside patient rooms longer than necessary. Others described her staring down empty hallways or standing near elevators without pushing the call button. And almost everyone said the same thing afterward. Something about her felt wrong, not threatening. Wrong. That distinction stayed with Leah because it mirrored exactly how she had started feeling herself. By then, she dreaded coming into work, not because she feared seeing the double personally. In a strange way, the opposite bothered her more. She never saw it, and everyone else did. That slowly became the part she could not stop thinking about. Co-workers claimed they passed her in hallways moments before she walked into rooms from entirely different directions. Patients insisted she checked on them, while records proved she had been somewhere else entirely. Security guards waved at her through windows before realizing, minutes later, she had never been there. But Leah herself never caught so much as a glimpse. It was as if the thing avoided her intentionally. One night, she finally asked one of the ICU nurses to describe exactly what she saw. The nurse hesitated before answering. At first glance, she explained it always looked completely normal. Same height, same posture, same hair. But after a few seconds, little things started feeling off. The other Leah rarely blinked. Sometimes she stood too still for too long. Other times she seemed oddly fascinated by ordinary things like patient monitors or supply carts, as though she did not fully understand what she was looking at. Then the nurse admitted something that made Leah's stomach turn cold. The double never seemed surprised when people noticed her. It expected to be seen. That conversation stayed with Leah during the following weeks as the sightings continued spreading throughout the hospital. Staff from floors she barely visited now claimed they had seen her late at night near empty rooms or standing inside darkened hallways. A transport orderly swore she watched Leah walk into a stairwell seconds before the real Leah exited an elevator three floors away. Even stranger, the sightings almost always happened during overnight shifts, between 2 and 5 in the morning, the quietest hours in the hospital. Leah started sleeping poorly after that, not because she feared the hospital itself, but because the reports had begun following her mentally outside of work. She found herself replaying conversations over and over, trying to locate some rational explanation buried beneath them. Stress, fatigue, misidentification. Some elaborate prank she still did not understand. But none of those explanations accounted for how consistent the descriptions remained. One particular incident finally pushed everything into territory Leah could no longer rationalize away. It happened during a storm late in October. Heavy rain had flooded several roads near the hospital, and the emergency department was overloaded most of the night with vehicle accidents and weather-related injuries. Around 4 in the morning, Leah stepped into one of the older supply rooms near the south wing looking for extra IV kits. The room itself was narrow and overcrowded, with metal shelving packed almost to the ceiling. Only one fluorescent light worked properly overhead, filling the space with a dull, flickering glow. Leah was halfway through sorting boxes when she heard footsteps stop outside the partially open door. At first, she assumed another nurse needed supplies too. Then the footsteps stopped completely. Whoever stood outside the room did not move. Leah looked toward the doorway and saw part of a figure standing just beyond it. Blue scrubs, a clipboard against one hip. For one brief second, Leah thought she was looking into a mirror. Then the figure slowly leaned backward out of sight, not startled, not hurried, just slowly disappearing from the doorway. Leah immediately stepped into the hallway, expecting to catch someone walking away. Nobody was there. The corridor stretched empty in both directions beneath the dim overnight lighting. The elevators remained closed. No doors swung shut. No footsteps echoed down the hall. Nothing. Leah stood frozen in the middle of the hallway while something cold settled heavily into her chest. Because for the first time since the sightings began, she realized something terrifying. The double had finally seen her, too. After the encounter outside the supply room, Leah seriously considered quitting. Not because she thought the hospital was haunted, and not even because she believed she was losing her mind. What frightened her most was the growing sense that something inside the building had become aware of her, in the same way she had become aware of it. Before that night, the sightings always felt indirect. Stories passed between co-workers. Strange moments described secondhand. Even the security footage remained something Leah never personally saw. But the figure outside the supply room changed that completely. For the first time, she knew with absolute certainty that someone or something had been standing there watching her. And worse, it had looked exactly like her. Leah stopped volunteering for overnight shifts after that. She switched rotations whenever possible and avoided the older south wing unless she absolutely had to cross through it. For a while, the change almost seemed to help. The sightings became less frequent, co-workers stopped bringing the subject up as often, and weeks passed without anyone mentioning seeing her in the wrong place at the wrong time. Gradually, the tension surrounding the entire situation started fading, the way strange workplace rumors eventually always do. People moved on. Leah tried to move on too. Then one of the patients recognized her. That was what finally shattered every explanation she had managed to hold on to. The patient was an older man recovering from heart surgery who had spent nearly 2 weeks in the hospital. Leah barely knew him because she had only covered his floor a handful of times, but one evening, he motioned for her to come closer while she checked vitals in the room next door. At first, she assumed he needed medication or help adjusting something. Instead, he quietly asked why she kept returning to his doorway during the night. Leah immediately felt cold. The man explained that several nights earlier he woke sometime before dawn and saw Leah standing outside his room. He assumed she was checking on patients, but when he waved weakly toward her through the partially open door, she never reacted. She simply stood there watching him. The man admitted he eventually pretended to fall back asleep because something about her expression unsettled him. Then he said something Leah never forgot. She looked like she was trying to remember who she was. Leah finished the rest of her shift in a fog after that conversation. By then, she had heard enough descriptions to recognize the pattern herself. Everyone described the same behavior. The double never spoke unless directly addressed. It lingered near rooms without entering. Sometimes it appeared fascinated by ordinary hospital routines, as though studying how people moved through the building, almost like imitation. That idea lodged itself in Leah's mind and refused to leave. The thing wandering the hospital was not pretending to be her maliciously. It was learning her. A week later, another incident pushed everything beyond what Leah could rationalize away. One of the overnight nurses called Leah's personal cell phone just after 3 a.m, demanding to know why she had left work without telling anyone. Half asleep, Leah explained she was home and had not worked in nearly 2 days. The nurse went silent. Then she quietly explained that she had seen Leah less than 15 minutes earlier standing at the end of the 6th floor hallway near the old recovery wing. Except something about the sight felt wrong immediately. The figure stood completely still facing the darkened windows overlooking the parking garage. When the nurse called Leah's name, it turned slowly toward her, but never answered. Then it smiled. Not normally, too slowly. The nurse left the floor immediately afterward. That was the first time anyone described the double acknowledging them directly, and it terrified Leah enough that she finally requested a transfer to another hospital within the same healthcare network. Officially, she blamed burnout. Nobody argued. The transfer took nearly 2 months to process, and during that time, the sightings became sporadic again. Some weeks passed quietly. Other nights, someone would casually mention seeing Leah near an elevator or crossing between wings moments before discovering she had been somewhere else entirely. But the atmosphere surrounding the sightings had changed. People no longer joked about it. Now they avoided talking about it altogether. Leah's final overnight shift arrived in early December during the first major snowstorm of the year. The hospital felt unusually quiet beneath the weather, with fewer visitors, dimmer hallways, and entire wings operating on reduced staffing overnight. Around 4 a.m, Leah stepped into the skybridge connecting the older building to the west tower While transporting paperwork between departments, halfway across the bridge, she stopped walking. Someone stood at the opposite end. Blue scrubs. Same height, same posture. For one suspended moment, neither of them moved. Leah finally saw it clearly. Not a shadow. Not mistaken identity. Herself. The face looked almost right, but not completely. The expression sat wrong somehow, like someone trying to imitate a human expression without fully understanding it. Even from across the bridge, Leia could see the thing watching her with unsettling concentration, studying her. Then slowly, it tilted its head. The exact same movement Leia herself unconsciously made while confused. That frightened her more than anything else because it meant the thing had been paying attention for a very long time. Leia backed away first, not running, not looking away. She simply stepped backward toward the door she came through while the other version of herself remained perfectly still beneath the dim bridge lighting. The moment the door closed behind her, she heard footsteps moving rapidly across the bridge toward her. Leia ran. She never finished the shift. Years later, Leia still works in healthcare at a smaller hospital several hours away. She never told most people why she transferred so suddenly, and eventually the entire experience became something she forced herself not to think about too often. Until one night, nearly 3 years later, an agency nurse recognized her during shift change. The woman looked at Leia strangely for several seconds before asking whether she had once worked at St. Vincent's downtown. Leia admitted she had. The nurse nodded slowly and explained she recently finished a temporary assignment there. Then, almost casually, she mentioned something that made Leia feel cold all over again. Staff there still occasionally talked about a nurse matching Leah's description, wandering the hospital late at night, usually near the older wings, standing silently in doorways, watching people work.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Modo Casino? Modo has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Modo. I like my slots hot. Modo's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Modo Casino. Modo Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Modo, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Modo Casino. Modo's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Modo, America's social casino.
Play for free on Modo.us.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. American Social Casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.